What are the four marks of the church? Hi, I'm Mike Mason. This is St. Joe Society Podcast. St. Joe Society is a Catholic lay apostolate devoted to help men order all things to Christ as they grow strong in mind, body, and spirit. If you'd like to check out more about us, you can see us online at stjosephsociety.org. This is the St. Joseph Bootcamp, episode 32. And in this episode, we're going to wrap up our month-long series on an introduction to the church. And we're going to wrap it up by looking at the four marks of the church. But before I launch into that, I want to remind you guys to hit the subscribe button, do all the things YouTube wants you to do to know that we post videos. Though this is a boot camp, and we'll come into our last month of the boot camp in May when we're going to talk about the spiritual life. when we graduate from the boot camp, we're graduating unto the battle, guys. We don't intend to stop these meetings. We want to keep them moving in June. Got a lot of great content for you guys next year. And so please check us out online, check out the rule and things at our website, subscribe to all those things so that we can keep this momentum that we've built over the last 7 months moving. So, all right. Four marks of the church. So last week we talked at the role of the Holy Spirit in the church, in the life of the church. Okay. We discussed the fact that the Holy Spirit is the heart and the soul of the church. We talked about the fact that the Holy Spirit is the principle of life. It fuels all the supernatural acts that we do. And so we need to stay in tune with the Holy Spirit and keep growing on our relationship with God through the power of the Holy Spirit. We also talked about the fact, the importance of remaining within the body of the church. So Christ is the head, the church is his body. We remain in the body by growing in grace, avoiding sin, of course, making use of the sacraments and participating in the mission of the church. All right, that was last week. This week, what I want to focus on is what are called the four marks of the church. Now, you'll see these in the Nicene Creed that you say after the homily each Sunday. The Nicene Creed, it says the Catholic Church is the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. These are what are called the four marks of the church. You can think of these four marks for like apologetic purposes. And apologetics is just a fancy word for a defense. If you were defending the Catholic Church as being Christ's church, you might say, well, the Catholic Church bears these four marks. The Catholic Church is one. The Catholic Church is holy. It's Catholic and apostolic. Whichever church has those four traits is the church Christ established. And so what we make the argument for in the Catholic Church is that we have all four of these marks. Okay. Well, to make that defense or to know that, you got to know what these four marks are. And that's what we're going to unpack today. So we're going to look at these in order. One, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. And I'll give you guys a couple takeaways at the end. All right, let's start. We're going to go right in order. Let's start with the church is one. In John 17, 20 through 21, Jesus says this, I do not pray for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. So here we see in John 17, Jesus is saying, the church is supposed to be one. Now this is the high priestly prayer of Jesus. So this is his prayer before he goes to the crucifixion. And if you've ever wondered like, okay, what would Jesus, if he could pray for anything for me, what would he pray for? When this passage we see that he's praying that we would be one, that his people would be one people, not many. Now as a short aside, I'm a convert to Catholicism, and so one of the things that got me to seriously take in consideration the Catholic Church is the Catholic Church is unified. It is one. It's identifiable all through the last 2,000 years of history. And the fact that Jesus wants us to be one was something that really motivated me to take the Catholic Church seriously. Now, Jesus says this in John 17, but St. Paul, I think, gives the best kind of description of the oneness of the church, and he does this in Ephesians chapter 4. If you guys aren't noticing this month, Ephesians is a book that talks a lot about the church. I've been quoting Ephesians a lot. Okay, here's St. Paul. There is one body, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Okay, notice, I don't know if we can make it any more blunt than this. St. Paul in this passage repeatedly says we are one body, one spirit, one hope, one faith. The unity and oneness of the church is one of its most preeminent markers, okay? The Catholic Church, okay, one of the signs that it's Christ's church is that it's identifiable from the apostles to the present day, Okay. For all its flaws and sometimes there's been division within certain bodies of it, the Catholic Church has been a unified body for the last 2,000 years. How is the church unified? It's unified in faith. We profess the same faith. Okay. We can see this, especially in the creed, where everyone who's Catholic professes the same faith and same beliefs. Second, we are unified in worship, primarily in the liturgy and in the Eucharist and in the Mass. And we are unified in apostolic succession, okay, which includes, which we're going to come back to here in a minute, but that includes the Pope, the bishops, and the priests. And so what you see, okay, in the unity of the church is that we profess the same faith, same worship, same apostolic succession. Now, you might ask, why does the church need to be one? The church needs to be one because she's a supernatural society, right? It's a group of people with a supernatural calling, okay? And the whole goal of that society is to unite men with God, principally, and with one another. Guys, people have to be one to be unified, okay? If we were diverse, okay, if there was many churches, we would not be unified, we'd be separated, which is not what Jesus and St. Paul are saying. Nor would that help with the goal of uniting us with God and with each other as well. All right, so there's the church as one. Let's turn next to the second mark, which is the church is holy. Holiness is the church's very reason for being. Now, holiness is a very thick concept. Okay, there's a lot to be said about this. And the fact that we here at the St. Joe Society, we focus primarily on growing in holiness. We're going to talk about holiness a lot in the future, okay? Holiness is probably one of the most exciting things there is to discuss in our faith. Holiness is the whole reason for our being. Now, simply put, something's holy when it's set apart for God's purposes, okay? So the church is set apart to be a place that men come in union with God and with one another, like we just talked about with the oneness, and that we can grow in holiness in loving communion with God, okay? Guys, when we become holy, we're not supposed to become this like superhuman thing. Becoming holy is about becoming fully what we are, becoming fully human. Holiness is the happy life, okay? Well, why? Because when God created us, he created us with an end or a goal in mind. God created us that some things are good for us. Those are called virtues. Some things are bad for us. Those are called vices and sins, okay? Holiness is the whole point of our existence because God is setting apart a people, as we talked about in the past, and he wants to unite himself with those people in the church. Jesus says in John 10:10, he declares that he came so that, quote, they might have life and have it more abundantly. The life, this abundant life God wants for us is the life of holiness. Holiness is the happy life, okay? And the way we develop holiness and happiness is through habits. And that's why here at the St. Joe Society and through this boot camp, we've given you guys challenges each month. It's the reason why in our rule of life, there's specific prayers and a certain way of living. Because one, discipline brings about happiness. Habits bring about holiness. And holiness bring about happiness. And so there's a connection between ordering our lives to becoming holy and then becoming fulfilled and happy. Okay, and we're going to talk about this at great length, especially next month, in the last month of our boot camp, and then in the future. And I have a lot of great, great, great stuff set aside for you guys next year, starting right out of the gate in June. It's gonna be good stuff. All right, so that's holiness. We'll return to that in the future a lot. Let's look at what it means for the church to be Catholic. Okay, the word Catholic means universal. This is also it's a beautiful truth of the Catholic faith. Okay. The first person to use this term is St. Ignatius of Antioch. And he said, where Jesus Christ is, there is the Catholic Church. Okay. Now, the Catholic nature of the church, this universal nature of the church, has two basic dimensions. One is spatial, one's temporal. Okay. What do I mean about the spatial? The universal nature of the church, God intends to take his church everywhere. That's what I mean by spatial. Okay. Jesus said in John 12, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. Not some men, not Jewish men, as opposed to Gentile men, not masters and not slaves, not men, but not women. No, he intends to draw everybody. Okay. St. Paul talks about the fact that in God's way of doing things, there's neither Jew or Gentile, neither a slave or free man, neither man nor woman. All people, all places, all tribes are to come to the Lord's table. Okay, that's the spatial dimension. So this is for everybody. The second part is what's called the temporal dimension. This kingdom is going to last for all eternity. This wasn't just Jesus and the apostles one and done. No, no, this has been going on for 2,000 years. If the Lord doesn't return for another 1,000 years, it's going to keep going. And this church is going to extend in, even into eternity. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 20, I am with you always to the close of the age. And you see this in the Old Testament, in the prophets, particularly in Daniel. Daniel talks about the fact that a kingdom was coming that would be for all time. Okay, it's a, you know, when Jesus says before Pilate, my kingdom's not of this world. Okay, it's in the world, but it's not of it. He's talking about this temporal dimension that it's going to last forever. Okay, super cool stuff. Last mark of the church is that the church is apostolic. Okay. The apostolic nature of the church signifies that the church comes from the apostles. Okay. This was another mark of the church that really moved me to strongly consider the Catholic Church and then ultimately enter into it. Okay. The church is apostolic in three basic ways. The first is the church is apostolic in her origin. So what we find here is Jesus is the final word of God to mankind. Okay, so Jesus comes into the world and he trains the 12 apostles. He passes his teaching on to them and then commissions them at the end of Matthew to go into all the world and preach. So our church starts with Peter and the apostles. The origin of church goes right back to the beginning, to Christ himself and the apostles he trained. That's the first way in which the church is apostolic. Second, the church has always adhered to the teachings of the apostles. So we find the teachings of the apostles in sacred scripture and sacred tradition. The church is not allowed to make up new things, okay? That deposit of faith, that scripture and tradition, is the bank of the apostolic teaching that we've been teaching and professing and believing since the apostles themselves, okay? The third way the church is apostolic is that through the Pope and the bishops, we are connected to the apostles by apostolic succession. And this was one of the marks that really, I kind of came to the conclusion of the Catholic Church was Christ Church a little bit before my wife did. I could read my way in. And I remember when we were in RCIA and she looked at the fact that apostolic succession was real, that through the bishops, through the Pope, you could trace it all the way back to Peter and the apostles and Christ himself. This is what blew her mind. We were driving home that night from RCIA and she was just blown away by the fact that this is the case. And I told her, you know, I laughed about it because it was really funny. It was really inspiring seeing her be so excited about this. And I said, oh yeah, hon, I could buy you a poster with a picture of all the popes from at that time as Pope Benedict all the way down to St. Peter. Apostolic succession shows that we are in unity with the church. Okay. Now, these four marks, like I said before, they are signposts to identify which church is Christ Church. Well, if you're asking yourself right now, well, which church is Christ Church? Well, let's just review real quick. Is the Catholic Church identifiably one through the last 2,000 years? We have to say yes. Holiness of the church. Does the church promote holiness? Now, I'm not saying here that there aren't prelates or bishops or priests or something that get off track. No, what I'm saying is, does the church teach holiness? Does it correctly show the pathway to holiness? What are the best, are the saints as these best signposts of the holiness of the church? We have those in spades. Third, the church is Catholic. The church is for everyone. It's universal. It's been spreading to the four corners of the earth ever since then. It's identifiable through the last 2,000 years. The church Catholic, the Catholic Church is clearly fulfills this mark. And then finally, the apostolic, the full apostolic nature, the origin back to the apostles, adhering to the teachings of the apostles through the deposit of faith, and apostolic succession is clearly identifiable as well. So what we see in these four marks is the Catholic Church is truly the Church Christ established. All right, we could go a long time on all four of those, but that's a really good start for us. I'm sure we'll return to that those topics a lot in the future. But I'm going to wrap us up there for this month. It's been a great month. Talking about the nature of Christ Church, considering all these important topics. What I'll leave you with last is we talked about the fact that all the things Christ did for us, okay, he asked three things of us, three conditions. Believe in his teaching, talked about that week one. Obey his commandments. Obedience leads us to holiness and happiness. And then finally, make use of those sacraments, gentlemen. So this week, find some time to grow in your knowledge of the faith, grow in obedience by trusting God's will for you, and make sure you guys are getting to Mass this Sunday and getting to confession and being committed to those sacraments. All right, I hope you guys have a blessed week. I look forward to coming back next week when we're going to talk about the universal call to holiness. All right, God bless.